Bruchim Haboy, and welcome back to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Vayishlach. The shir is being said, Lezecher Nishmas, Ule'ile Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina, and Leon Ben Rachel. Bezos Hashem, their neshama tahiris, Zalhabin alichtige, lichtige gan Eden. And I'm very grateful to all those that are here live in the Heichal, those who are listening live, and those who will, Bezos Hashem, hear the recording when it's sent out. With the hope that not only did Divrei Torah give us chizuk and help change us l'tayva, but that it also enhance and impact our Shabbos Kodesh. Please, I ask, if you're hearing these Divrei Torah, share them with others, say them over at the Suda during Shabbos to bring about even greater Kedusha through our Shabbos Kodesh and sharing Divrei Torah. If you take a look, probably one of the most famous stories in Chumash, certainly in the Parsha, is when there is an encounter that takes place first between Yaakov and Sori Shel Esav, the guardian angel of Esav, that we know is, of course, a reference to the Yetzirah. If you take a look, there's a very famous exchange when Yaakov Avinu says, take a look, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed, Lamed Beis, the Pasuk says, Vayishal Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu asked this angel of Esav, please tell me what is your name? And the response is, Vayomer, the answer from Sori Shel Esav is, Lamazet Tishal Shmi. Why are you asking my name? There are many explanations to this answer that seems at best to be vague. What is meant by the Sori Shel Esav responding, Lama Zeh Tishalish Me? Why are you asking my name? You were asked a question, answer, what is your name? What type of response is that? There are multiple answers. For tonight's shir, I'd like to focus on two answers, and I think that they're both extraordinarily profound and both very powerful. Number one, many Mefarshim tell us, you didn't read the pasuk correctly. Actually, it was an answer. It most certainly was an answer. And this guardian angel, Sori Shel Esav, whom we refer to as the Yetzahara, he was answering, Lama ze tishalish me. You asked me what my name is. My name is, why are you asking my name? Which is another way of saying, don't think. Don't ask me my name. You know, we want you to do things in life impetuously. Many mistakes and much machleika starts from acting too impetuously. Because if you respond without properly thinking, when you could have waited a few days till the person cooled down or whatever it might be, then there's a lot to be gained, a great amount to be gained. And Rav Shapsa Yudalevich, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, speaks about this in great detail. The great Maggid says, Lama Zeh Tishalish Mi is the answer. My name is, like your name is Yaakov and your name is to become Yisrael. My name, my title and my job is, why are you asking my name? Which is another way of saying, don't think. Don't ask me my name. Do things impetuously. Why are you asking my name means, just act without thinking. And if you think, as we said a moment ago, that's really where a great amount of strife and machleika starts. I remember hearing multiple times that when Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, was giving a shir about proper speech, Rav Pam mentioned that one word that should not be used, amongst others, is the word whatchamacallit. You wonder, what's wrong with the word whatchamacallit? Because if you think about that, that word is really only said by somebody who doesn't stop and think. If you would take a moment to think where you place the keys or where something is found in the house, then you'd properly answer. I left it in the third drawer. I left it under the towel. You'd give an appropriate answer. When does a person respond and say, whatchamacallit? Whatchamacallit is essentially a person who doesn't think. Not thinking, not stopping to think, is not a proper thing. You know how much, how many times arguments, how much machlekes there has been because something was said too flippantly or too quickly, and once it's out, it entered the world. How many of us suffer in different conversations from lamazet tishalishmi? Why do you think? Why do you ask my name? It's so much easier. Whatchamacallit? I believe there's a medrash that tells us, Chazal say, kol dor she'ein v'ideya, a generation that doesn't have das, it's like the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in that generation. Now, how do you explain that, Maimer Chazal? We know there are a lot of things that are like destroying the Beis Hamikdash. Sinas Chinam, the byproduct of which is Lashon Hara. What, pray tell, do Chazal mean, kol dor she'ein v'ideya? A generation, and of course there are a number of pshatim to say, but I was thinking perhaps it means, deya means knowledge. Maybe the answer is what we just said for the last 5 minutes. When a person doesn't have deya das, that means they're not stopping to think. They're not first using their intellect and their seichel to discern, should I say it or not? Is this the right time to say it? Is this the right way to say it? Mayrei v'rabbi say, how much good we would do ourselves, our spouse, our families, our siblings, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, if we would stop and have das and not live a whatchamacallit existence. Because when you don't have das, you'll say things too quickly. When you say things too quickly, that could certainly bring about sinas chinam, and sinas chinam is why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Maybe that's the pshat in Chazal. Kol dor she'ein b'ideya. A generation where there's no das, meaning where people don't stop to think if something should or shouldn't be said, and all the other examples we said, how to say it, to whom to say it, when to say it, where to say it, all, everything. If you don't have das, it's a slippery slope, because that will bring about a breakdown in relationships, which causes sinas chinam, which is why the Beis Hamikdash has yet to be rebuilt. How many of us on a daily basis make the mistake of Lama Zeh Tishalishmi? I know that it's a maisa that we've said multiple times. In full disclosure, I enjoy each time that we say it. It did happen with me, but I believe that there's a tremendous amount to be gained from the Maisa, especially tying it in to this concept of Lama Zeh Tishalishmi. It was a number of years ago on a Friday that I was traveling from here to Philadelphia for Shabbos. And on the plane, I was sitting in the front row on the left-hand side. That means diagonally in front of me was the flight attendant. As you know, I've said on many occasions, half an hour before we were to land in Philadelphia, the fasten seatbelt sign went on, and she started mamish diagonally in front of me making the announcements that I've heard many, many times, and it goes something like this. As you can see, the fasten seatbelt is on, so please make sure that the seatbelt is tight across your lap. Make sure that your tray table is stowed away, your seat is in upright position. Make sure all your luggage is stowed, as things may have shifted in flight as we begin our initial descent into. And she pauses for a moment, and then she moves the microphone away so nobody should hear her. She leans over to me and she says to me, Rabbi, where are we headed again? And I said, Philadelphia? And then she finishes her announcements as we begin our initial descent into Philadelphia. Enjoy the rest of your flight. She comes over afterwards and she says, thank you so much for helping me out. You see, I do this flight so often, coming and going, I don't remember where I'm headed. And I laughed along, and then when she turned around, I think I started to cry. Because she's right. Sometimes it takes somebody 35,000 feet in the air to jolt you and remind you Sometimes do we get so busy and busy and busy and busy that we don't stop and think, what am I doing in this world? What is it that I should be doing? What is it that I should be focusing on? We'll see in a few moments another pasuk that brings out this concept beautifully. But the truth is, if you take a look at the Ramchal brings down in Mesilas Yesharim and Perek Beis in a number of paragraphs this exact concept. On the words Tichbar HaAvoida, that Paro kept us so busy. What was Tichbar HaAvoida? What was the difficult labor that he gave? If you take a look, the Ramchal brings down in Mesilas Yesharim and Perek Beis, Tichbar HaAvoida means he kept us so busy with menial work. Meaningless jobs, but the point was to keep us so busy that we don't stop to think, what is our chayv and our obligation to fulfill in this world? And that's really what was taking place, because when you are so busy, you don't stop and think. And when you don't stop and think, as we said a few moments ago, it's a slippery slope to sinas chinam, and another year in Golus without rebuilding the third and everlasting Beis HaMikdash. That's what happens when you have a whatchamacallit society, a society she'ein bo das, and when we live through times of lama ze tishal lishmi-esque in nature. And I think the root of it is what we just mentioned, being so busy. When you are so busy, who has time anymore to stop and to think, to really contemplate all of those powerful questions in any relationship, what to say, how to say it, when to say it. The impetuousness sometimes could be an absolute disaster. And that's where Reb Shapsi Yudalevich explains, Lama zeh tishalish me, why are you asking my name, is the essence of the Yetzirah. His mahus and his essence is, don't ask me my name, don't think, because that's sure to bring disaster. Our job is not to be so busy. Our job is to have das, to stop and to think what's appropriate and how to do something. And with that das, we'll be zoicha to rebuild the Bayis Shlishi, Bezus Hashem. I'd like to bring your attention to another pasuk before we come back to this one, that speaks about this idea of what happens when you're so busy and life and special moments pass you by. Take a look. The Pasuk tells us, Lamed Gimel Yud Zayin. We'll come back to the Pasuk that we just mentioned. We will come back to the Pasuk. But for a moment, I ask you to please go to Lamed Gimel Yud Zayin. The Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu is parting, he starts his journey to Sukkosa. V'Yaakov Nasa Sukkosa, Lamed Gimel Yud Zayin, V'ayivin Loibayis, and he built for himself a house. Ulemikneu Asa Sukkos, and for his livestock, for his animals, he made a shelter. There are many Svarim HaKadoshim, many Bali Musa that speak about the importance of this Pasuk. This pasuk teaches us the art of priorities. Sometimes you have to build a bayis, and sometimes you have to build a sukkah. A bayis represents a proper and permanent structure as opposed to a sukkah. When Yaakov Avinu was building something for himself and his wife, his children, or his family, it was a bayis, a proper structure. Ulemikneu. But when it came to something that wasn't as important, his livestock and his animals, for that he only built sukkahs, more of a shelter and more of a hut. And the Bali Musar tell us, sometimes we switch our priorities. Sometimes for ourselves and our families we build a sukkah. But for the other events and occasions and people in our life, for them, for those, we build a bias. In other words, that we mix up our priorities. My father, Zatzal, used to say that the Gemara tells us there was no simcha like the simcha of watching by the simchas Beis HaShoeva. What did they watch? They watched our leaders juggle multiple torches. Now, juggling is extraordinary, no doubt. But that's the biggest simcha in the world? The pshat is yes, because it represents juggling priorities. And you know how important it is to juggle priorities. You know how good it feels on days that we do juggle our priorities, and how awful we feel on days where we allow the days and the nights and the weeks and the months to come and go because our priorities were turned upside down. There's no simcha like watching the art of juggling and properly juggling priorities. I will dedicate my time and my life to serving Hashem and to my family and to helping a fellow Yid. But all of the things that should be at best on the back burner, sometimes a person might refer to it as narishkeit or a he said, she said, or whatever it might be. We have to work. It's not always so easy. It's not always so easy. We have to work on not letting it consume us. We have to work on not letting the days and nights and weeks and months come and go, and then I look back and say, but what did I accomplish? And that's what this pasuk is teaching us. We are all Yaakov Avinu. In this long and funereal galus, we are represented by the Bechir Sheba'avis Yaakov Avinu. And this pasuk is teaching us that for ourselves and our families and all that's dear to us, we must build a bias. Whereas all of the other things that are not nearly as important only deserves a sukkah, but never mix the priorities and put a bias for a sukkah and a sukkah for a bias. You know, we've mentioned on many occasions, my father's atzal said over the story, it's a delightful maisa, it's true. Decades ago in Manhattan, a large store, Tiffany's, was broken into. They had to keep closed for an entire day, losing sales and revenue and profit for a whole day. You wonder what was stolen already. Absolutely nothing. Those who broke in throughout the night and cost a loss of a day's worth of profit stole absolutely nothing. What did they do during the night? They switched all of the price tags. That means on an item where the price tag was $40,000, they took it off and put it on an item of $25 or whatever it might have been. And on an item that had a price tag of $100, they put that on something for $40,000. They spent the night switching the price tags. Naturally, you can't open with the price tag switch. You could never make a sale like that. And my father, that's all, used to wonder, how many of us suffer from the Tiffany syndrome? How many of us mix up our prayer? Honestly, let's stop and think for a moment. How many of us suffer from the Tiffany syndrome and we mix up our priorities? And then after a number of weeks or a few months, we look back on that, what I could have accomplished for myself, for my own spiritual growth, the people I could have helped. How many of us suffer from the Tiffany syndrome? There isn't a simcha that's as beautiful as learning the art of juggling the priorities. I would really hope that learning this pasuk this week, hearing it on Shabbos, we would remember Vayivan Loi Boyas, that for things and people in our life that must be of paramount importance, build a bias. Whereas when it comes Ulimikneyu to the things that should not be consuming us, and it might even be certain materialism or gashmias that just takes us, that at best deserves a sukkah, if that. But I really think it ties back to what we mentioned. When a person is so busy, when a person leads a life of lamazet tishalishmi, they're going to be so busy they won't think, and if they don't think, they won't have proper priorities. And if they don't have proper priorities, it's a breakdown in relationships and all that's dear to them, and everything spirals out of control until it's another year in this funereal galus. Nu, let's break the cycle. My Rebbe Rabbi say, let's break the cycle. Let's go out and show people how we could work on priorities, how we do have das, how we won't be so busy, how that which is important to us will become our bias. If you take a look at the pasuk we started this year with, I'd like to mention another pshat that I saw brought down in the name of Rav Shach. Something from Moron Rashke Bahag, Rav Shach, Zeichet Tzadik, V'kodesh Levracha. Go back to the pasuk that we opened up with, Lamed Beis Lamed. Lama ze tishalishmi. He was asked a question. The Yetzihara, the angel of Esau, was asked and answered, Lama ze tishalishmi. Essentially, he was answering, and this is a different pshat than the one that we said before. But it's a very, very uplifting and inspiring pshat. Rav Shach wants to explain. He was saying, Lama ze tishalishmi, why are you asking my name? The Yetzihara was essentially answering, I don't have a name. And what he meant by that, says Rav Shach, is the name of a person defines his essence. How many times have we explained that the word neshama, nun shin mem hei, the two middle letters of neshama, the inner two letters are a shin and a mem. Shin and a mem spells the word shame, your name. Your name is at the center of your essence. Your neshama, the essence and the center of the neshama is the name, because your name defines your mahus, your essence. You don't need to look any further than in the beginning of Briyas HaOlam. Adam HaRishon would study all of the animals, and he named the animals, studying each one's personality. We know Chazal tell us he studied the personalities, he studied their essence, what they were made of, what were the goals and objectives of each of the animals, each of the creatures, and based on that, he gave the name. I remember hearing a magnificent pshat. That's why when it came to him naming himself, what did Adam say? Call me Adam because I was taken from the ground. How does that, I was taken from the Adama, and etymologically the root of the word Adama is Adam, how does that explain our essence, our mahus? Those are our goals and our objectives, that we were taken from the ground? I once heard a beautiful pshat, because the idea of the ground is that a person will work the ground, he'll plow, he'll harvest, he'll hoe, he'll till, he'll plant, he'll put the seeds in, something will grow. And after whatever the beautiful thing is that grows, what does he do? He starts all over again. You start with working the ground and harvesting and hoeing and tilling and putting in the soil, etc. It grows, you take what it produced, and you start again. Adam HaRishon said, call me Adam because you took me from the ground. Yes, that is our goal. That's our objective. That's our personality. That's our essence. That's our mahus. In this world, we work and work and work, and we keep going. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we succeed, and sometimes we fail miserably. But you know what we do after we've fallen? We get back up, and we try again. You know that, Rabbi Sai. My writer, Rabbi Sai, you know that. After all of the work, and after something either is produced or isn't produced, we don't give up. We start again. That is our essence. It's our objective and our goal and our very mahus. It's our personality. So after looking at all of the animals and giving them their name based on their personality, he chose for himself the name Adam from the word Adama, because that is our life. We work and we work and we work in our avodas Hashem, and sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. And then b'siyata d'shmaya merubu, we keep going again and again and again. Mayra dikapshat. Absolutely givaldik. And that brings us back to what Rav Shach tells us. There are some people, you take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had many names. Because if indeed that name defines your essence, Moshe Rabbeinu was so great and so special that there wasn't any one name that could define his true essence. Memela Moshe Rabbeinu had multiple names because that's what was needed for someone so special, so great on the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu to help define his true essence. And in conclusion, says Rav Shach, that's precisely what you have to know about the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara says, Loma Zeti Shalish Mi, why are you asking my name? I have no name. The name defines the essence and the goal and the objective of the Mahusta personality. Essentially, the Yetzer Hara wants to know, even though sometimes he seems so overwhelming and insurmountable, at the core, the Yetzer Hara wants us to know, I'm nothing but an illusion. I'm nothing but a figment of your imagination. I have no name. Lama zetishalish me, I have no name, I have no essence, I have no substance. The Yetzer Hara only has the strength that we grant him, that we allow him to overtake us, and we know that that's true. Now, I'm not minimizing the challenge. It's a daily struggle, many, many times on any given day. But doesn't it at least give us a sense of chizuk and inspiration to know the strength of the Yetzer Hara comes from what we grant it, what we make out of it? Because the Yetzer Hara in this week's parsha is essentially telling us, my name is, I have no name. I have no essence. I am nothing. So if I'm nothing but nothing, why should I have a name? And that's who the Yetzer Hara really is. As I said a moment ago, it is we who give it the power and we who grant him the ability. But at least if we now know that we're in control in the sense that we have those kleichas and abilities, it at least helps us with part of the fight. The name of the Yetzer Hara is, I have no name. I have no name because I'm nothing. I have no name because I'm but an illusion. I have no name because there is no substance and no essence. At least it should help us in our battle against the Yetzer Hara. I want to bring what I think is a beautiful proof to this concept that Rav Shach tells us. Rav Shach is explaining the Yetzer Hara is what we make out of it. Satan is what we create. But in essence, in personality, it really isn't anything at all. If you take a look in these psukim, the name that Yaakov has is just that, Yaakov. And then Yaakov is told by this angel of Esav, this Yetzer Hara, this Satan, now your name becomes Yisrael. The name changes from Yaakov to Yisrael. According to the Pshat that Rav Shach Zechatzadeh V'Kadosh Lebracha taught us, since we have a shame, a name that's rooted in our neshama is our essence. And the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, has a name that's nothing. There is no essence. There is no name. That helps us in our battle. And you see that in the name change from Yaakov to Yisrael. It's at that point when the angel says, I have no name, which according to Rav Shach means I have no essence, I am nothing. That means that we are now empowered to try to defeat the Satan. Take a look at the name change from Yaakov to Yisrael. The name Yaakov, Yud, Ayin, Kuv, Zayz, is the exact gematria of 182. Yaakov is 182. His name was changed to Yisrael, Yud, Shin, Reish, Aleph, Lamed. Yisrael is the exact gematria of 541. What is the numeric differential between Yisrael and Yaakov? What is the numeric differential of Yisrael, which is 541, and Yaakov, which is 182? The exact difference between those two numbers is precisely spot on 359. The word Satan, Sin Tes Nun, is exactly 359. the difference, what allows us to make the jump from the name Yaakov to the name Yisrael, is the realization that we could defeat the Yetzirah, we could defeat Satan by realizing he has no name, he has no essence. But we do. Ours is deeply rooted in the center of our neshama. When you realize that, you make the jump and that leap from Yaakov to Yisrael. For Yaakov, as we said, has the gematria of 182. Yisrael has the gematria of 541. The differential is 359. Satan, Shin Tes Nun, is exactly 359. When we're able to overcome Satan with our name, our essence, our goals, our objectives, our mahus and personality, that's when we're able to take the Satan, which is 359, use it in a way that we are empowered. Not he, we. And Satan plus the Yaakov of 182 equals Yisrael. And finally, a number of years ago, we mentioned what I think is one of the most inspiring pshatim to keep in mind, and I believe it ties the shir together. The reason that his name was changed to Yisrael, the pasuk tells us, is ki sardisa im elokim v'im anoshim atuchal. You persevered and you fought. So the word sarisa is similar to the word Yisrael. But the last word of the pasuk says v'atuchal, and you overcame, you were successful, you won. So Reb Leibel Eger wonders, why is our name Yisrael? From the word sarisa, shouldn't our name be a derivative of the word vatuchal, you won? Let's say that our name would be yituchal. It only sounds funny because we're not used to it. If we would be used to it, then it wouldn't sound funny at all. Why are we called Yisrael from the word sarisa, you fought? Shouldn't we be called yituchal from the word vatuchal, you won? After all, isn't that the objective? Rav Leibel Eger is masber, you have an incorrect definition of the word winning. What do you think winning means? The outside world will tell you that the definition of winning is that I got the gold medal. I scored in the one percentile. I have a 4.5 GPA. I'm top of the class, 100 on everything. The world will define winning and success by those terms that I just mentioned. That's not the Ribbono Shel Olam's definition. The Ribbono Shel Olam's definition of winning is not the 4.5 GPA and the head of the class and the one percentile and the gold medal. The Ribbono Shel Olam's definition of winning is, did you try? Did you put in the fight? Did you put in the effort? Did you persevere? Were you willing to make the attempt? Because if you could answer yes to that potpourri of questions, then you're a winner. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells us the Yiddish definition of winning is, did you try? Did you put in the effort? Did you persevere? Were you willing to make the attempt? Because if you could say that you tried, even though you don't think you were always successful, then you're a winner. That's the correct definition of winning. Memela, the greatest title that a Yid has, is we are Yisrael, from the word sarisa. That is what makes us winners. That's what makes us the Ama Nivcha, the chosen nation, and extraordinary. The definition of Yisrael is from the word sarisa, because if you could say that with the difficulties you tried, you persevered, you made the effort and attempt, you were willing to put that in, then you've earned the greatest title of all, Yisrael. That's the true definition of winning. We should taka bizaycha to earn that most beautiful and scintillating title of Yisrael. We should be zaycha to have the das, not to be so busy, not to mix up our priorities, but to be able to use our das, l'avodas habayre, to bring about ribui kvod shamayim berabim, to enhance the relationships, And so that a generation that does have das should be zeicha to bring about the rebuilding of the third and everlasting Beis HaMikdash, Bimheira and Biyameinu.